All right, we'll go ahead and get this order, or get the meeting started. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. First on the agenda is public comment. This is a period dedicated to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and if any member of the council wishes to extend the length of presentation, this will be done by a chairperson or council by majority vote. Is there any public comment at this time? All right, not seeing any, we will move to item number 3, which is approval of the minutes for March 26, 2025, for possible action. Anyone have comments on the minutes?
I have no input. I want that on the record.
I did not.
So does that mean you move to approve?
I do move to approve at the same time.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Now, item number 4 will be approval of the agenda for today, April 30th, 2025.
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
All right, tonight's agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
And now we move to informational items. And first is our report from the Las Vegas Valley Water District.
Aaron Gamble, Las Vegas Valley Water District. The wells were read on April 28th. The north well measured in at 13.39 feet below land surface. South well measured in at 13.09 feet below land surface. That's a decline of about a half a foot since last month and about 2.5 feet since April of last year. We haven't had any major breaks or leaks over the past month. Our rural system operators and our customer care have reached out to a couple of customers here in the community that we've noticed have been on the leak report about getting some leaks fixed at their houses. Anybody else? Anybody
have
some questions?
I got a curious question for you. Okay, so the other day was, April 25th, and I know they put it in a couple times. So there's a couple applications for water for Bellagio and MGM and stuff like this. And it says water will be used for recreation purposes. How do they, I mean, if they're on Las Vegas Valley water, how do they also tap into wells, or have already tapped into wells, and any idea on that? Sorry about laying
down. No, that's okay, So when it comes to the valley, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I don't have anything, I don't really deal with the valley, I only deal with this.
Or the artesian or gray water?
But I know in the valley, they have the lake water, but there are groundwater wells that are throughout there too. Now, I don't know the specifics of that there, but during the summertime, we do supplement the water system.
That'd probably be a question for the state water engineer.
Yeah, because I always thought up here that people that were on the co-op line were also not supposed to be on a well. And so if they're on Las Vegas Valley water and they're also taking...
They have their own well, is what the article is saying?
Yeah, they have their own well and they're asking for a change the point of diversion. And it just says water will be used for recreation purposes. So, yeah.
Can I take a picture of it?
Yeah, you can have it.
Yeah. Something called a newspaper. I don't know.
I don't even know what those are.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. You can have it.
Right.
It'll probably be in the paper again.
At some point. I think I've seen these when I was younger. I didn't know they still gave these out.
I think I used to throw them.
Yeah. I have a question, which is, when we look at, let's say, the April numbers that you have here, do you have an analysis of how much was used versus its replacement rate underground?
I personally don't.
Does the district?
I can find out.
I'd be interested in
Yeah, we've never had that as a report. We just sort of see the
net usage
result.
Versus what the recharge is.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you guys must have some guess as to how that's working. Because I'm going to presume that it's still getting recharged just at a slower rate than it was a year ago, let's say.
Aaron, hasn't it always been said, hasn't Jordan said that it doesn't matter the usage of the of everybody, but it depends on the amount of rainfall and other things. That's
right.
That's the main thing.
How much precipitation we get.
Well, we know we've had essentially zero rain.
Right.
And so that this only represents usage. I don't know. Like I say, I'm assuming that there are still underground sources that feed these wells, even when it's when it hasn't been a bunch of rain or something. I don't know, and that's what I was.
There's also loss. I mean, it's not just usage that drains it, but it also.
The water kind of flows out.
Yeah,
now,
it flows back out through the wash, basically
and also
underground through the wash, unless it's really wet, in which case it'll flow above ground. Yeah. But anyway, if there's a little more information to be had, that would be interesting. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right.
You guys have to ask all these difficult questions.
I know, we're giving you homework.
There's no breaks.
Right?
I got a difficult one for you. Where's Jordan tonight? What did you do to him tonight?
I don't know. I must have made him mad, so that's why he stayed home tonight.
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't see anyone. Is somebody here from Metro?
No.
So next would be a report
and
from Metro.
Yeah, the change has happened. So this area is no longer under the residence. It's under Enterprise.
Yeah. Okay. So. Do you think we're going to have, with that change, do you think we'll even have?
We've talked about
okay.
it.
When
did
we've talked about it, meaning that you've talked about it with Metro.
Metro.
So the change happened.
Last month?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I did have to call, and it was a lot faster.
Oh, yeah.
And there's going to be trade-offs. It might be faster, but they aren't going to know who you are. So
he was really nice.
Well, I'm not saying he would be nice.
I'm just saying.
Maybe it's better that he doesn't know
I
who
thought
you
they
are.
Were
really
nice.
Probably true.
No, there's going to be some trade-offs. You know.
But he did come from the city.
Yeah.
The city.
And Calico, if I remember, they're coming from Summerlin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's
yeah,
just literally
so it's
split.
A big
okay.
adjustment.
So Blue Diamond, they're coming from where?
Yeah. From Enterprise.
Enterprise
Area Command.
I see. So.
Okay. All right. And so next we will move to item number 3, which is a report from BLM regarding current and upcoming projects.
So Boris, the NTA manager, is on leave today. So I'm Katrina Williams. I'm the field manager for the BLM Red Rock Sloan field office. So I've got a couple things. Busy month coming up in May. We have all sorts of interp educational programs. If you guys are interested, like we have a Observe and Paint the Ranger Guided Art program on May 10th. We have a Kaibab Sea Guided Hike at Cowboy Trails on May 17th. And then just because these fill up so fast, we had the Dark Sky event with Save Red Rock and the Las Vegas Astronomical Society, which was a hit. There was like 250 people that showed up. We had to turn people down. It was just a lot of interest. And so that went well. Telescopes worked well, and they were donated to BLM too. And thanks to Save Red Rock for that. But we're going to have another one. So we have one on June 22nd. So if anybody's interested, sign up as soon as possible. But it's going to be warmer than just recent.
Is it at late night?
I'm sorry?
Is it at late night? Is that where?
No, we had it at the
Visitor Center.
Oh, you had it at the Visitor Center.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
June 22nd. And where,
yeah, June
22nd. Where do you sign up?
Save Red Rock.
Last time, yeah, Save Red Rock.
Through their website.
And then also June 11th, we'll have a full moon hike, too. Is that pop-up?
No, not that.
Okay. All right. So, other good news, the contractor was selected for the Legacy Trail.
Woo-hoo! For phase one.
So, we're excited. It took a while.
This is huge.
It's huge.
So, we're going to start planning on when we're going to break ground, and we have to celebrate it.
Yeah, of course.
So we'll be working on that. But that was just signed yesterday. And then phase two is at 30% design. Do you have any more?
I don't.
Okay.
Everything's just kind of working right now. All the design's happening, and so no big updates.
We are, once that trail does start going into construction, we will be salvaging those plants and replanting them somewhere. We also had an event a couple of weeks ago with Friends of Red Rock, and they did like seed balls that we can plant throughout Red Rock. So it's really cool. And we'll keep doing that with our botanists. And as you know, the La Top race is this Sunday, right? So it's going to be closed from 4 a.m., the highway. Till I think 1 p.m. it says. And so Red Rock is only going to be open for the racers, the bicyclists. That's a 75-mile race, 45, 25, and a family ride. So some racers will be going through the scenic drive. That'll be fun. I will be out there early in the morning. It's going to be tough waking up that early. And then just a reminder, coming up at the end of May, our reservation system is going to be shutting down May 30th, and the campground.
Okay.
So we'll announce that again, but just a reminder.
The reservation system is shutting down?
Yeah, we only have it seasonal during our busy season.
Yeah.
And then from May 30th to I think September 30th. There's no reservations needed, and then it starts again October 1st.
Just ask that question when you start it back up.
Yeah, October 1st.
Okay.
Yep. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next is BLM Law Enforcement. I don't think you have anybody there either.
So it's me, and I don't have much tonight. The H2 zone changes. They are going to BCC on the 21st, so if you're interested in that. We are going to be having a special call in 2 weeks on the 14th for the Gypsum Resources Project, so that's going to be on the agenda. All cards should be going out, it is what it is.
What are they hearing?
The project.
But, like, what phase of it?
The tentative map and the waivers and design review.
Probably for, I'm going to guess it's phase one. So
I don't think it says a phase.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
it's the whole thing.
Oh, is it?
I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we
should probably move that then to the Kwanzaa Hut. Okay.
I thought there was a limit. There wasn't going to be other phases.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think
it's
all it's
just
the whole
project.
Yeah, I think it's the whole thing.
Well, sometimes you can even phase out like a master plan, but
yeah, I haven't looked really closely. So that's coming, and then I may or may not be here on the end of the month. I'm having surgery on my hand on May 19th, so I'll be out for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Depending on how I feel, I may come to the meeting, or Mike Shannon may cover it for me.
Okay.
The liaison, so.
Have you lost your finger at it or what?
Yeah. No, I have. I found out I have severe carpal tunnel, and haven't felt my fingers for months.
Wow.
So yeah. So.
You'll be stoked after it's done, though.
I know.
So
I've heard it's
better.
Not a big deal, but it
and
is scary anytime.
Yeah.
We're cutting into your hand, you know. So.
Because I was talking about having like another thumb on the other side.
That would interfere with my craft.
Two thumbs up.
So.
Thumbs up.
If I'm going to add one, it'd be a no. seems like there's something else I was going to tell you guys about, but I can't think of it right now. So, any questions for me?
They sent out more cards. The Willa thing, they were approved by the Planning Commission already, and now it's going before the BCC.
Oh, yeah, it goes to the board on the
26th. So they
yeah.
sent out two more cards at yeah. this point in time.
Are you giving these to me? Or?
And actually, they did really well this time because it was the 23rd arrived on the 28th. So, and what's the meeting on the May 21st? So they got them out.
They've
nice,
had a lot of lead
nice
time on that.
Early, so
it took 5 days to get from Las Vegas to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Amazon takes 5 days.
it used to be one day. You put it in the mail, and it was there the next day. So. I don't know what's going on. So
if you put it in a mailbox that's closer to the destination, does that help?
I don't know. It'd probably be cheaper to have someone just go.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so yeah, if there's no other questions for me, I'm good. And now, the man of the hour.
Right, I was going to say, we don't have any planning and zoning items, so under general business, we have Clint Spencer, manager of roads for Clark County Public Works, to discuss maintenance and other public works related items.
As mentioned, I'm Clint Spencer, Levi Spence, manager at the Road Maintenance Division, Public Works. I don't have an elaborate report or anything to give you like everybody else has shown me up tonight. I was asked to be here by our lovely Miss Megan. More for a Q&A. I already spoke to one individual about some road questions, to answer some questions about some road conditions in the area of Red Rock. So. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. If you're unaware of what we actually do at Road Maintenance Division, I can give you a rundown. We don't just fix roads. It's I'm not part of the Construction Management Division. It is part of Public Works. So the projects you see going on, like the Fort Apache project and those that are in Public Works right away, those all are mine when they're done. But I don't have any part of the design. I'm not part of construction management that oversees the construction. So if you have construction related questions, I'll field those and I will get those answers for you if you do have something in regards to that. But,
are you going to be a regular feature at this meeting?
No, there were some particular questions, so I asked him to come, and
yes.
Luckily he likes
yes,
me, so he said okay.
Thank you for inviting me out for this one, Megan. This is one of the town boards or CACs that I haven't attended. I've been to several of them around the county. I guess I can take up a little bit of your time. Go ahead.
Well, so I was going to say one thing that your crew is going to do is we're going to do the maintenance for the Legacy Trail. We, as in the county.
Can I still argue that?
No, nope, nope. That's it's been agreed to.
It's a really thin road.
So, yeah. No, so that's one thing, and I just found out, and I didn't know this, and maybe I'm naive. I didn't know what a huge part of what they do is dealing with homeless.
Is what?
Dealing with homeless. I had no idea, and I just hadn't thought of it.
Is that considered road maintenance?
Because they are in our right of way,
yeah.
They obstruct right of way, also
drainage channels.
So, tidbit of what we do at road maintenance, of course. I have one main shop that's here in the valley. We have a secondary shop that's out here in your neck of the woods, our Jones Yard, we call it. It's Jones south of Blue Diamond. If
mm-hmm.
anybody's been seen it, it's behind the LVP pit,
yeah.
right behind
yeah.
there. It says field operations out there. We call it the Jones Yard. We have our main yard here, but our staff, we maintain everything from Mesquite to Laughlin and from Arizona to California. Everything that's in the unincorporated Clark County. So that's everything from 15 potholes, street sweeping, maintaining the shoulders, the unimproved shoulders where we don't have curb gutter sidewalk. We have crews that maintain our gravel shoulders, all of our gravel roads that are out in the mountainous areas, the RS-2477 roads. We do have some Forest Service roads, but the BLM-2477 roads. So we have shoulder maintenance crews. They also do all the illegal dumping. So if you see illegal dumping in the county right of way, our guys are picking that up. We have our flood control crews. We actually have two contractors on board that assist us with homeless cleanup and a contractor who helps with flood channel maintenance. in certain segments of flood channels that we maintain that are either county or their regional flood control district channels. We have our pavement preservation crew. We do the crack sealing in front of the slurry seal. This town was last slurry sealed, I believe, it was in 2011. 2011, there's your answer on that one, Bob. So 2011, we have slurry seal contracts. And we have concrete crews that maintain all of the, it's actually, to think about it, out of all of Clark County and the stuff that we do for maintenance, I basically have 8 guys that take care of all the curb gutter and sidewalk and spandrels and valley gutters and drop inlets that have to build those and maintain them. There are large contracts that go out there when we do our neighborhood rehabilitation programs where they'll go in and a contractor will do all the sidewalk, all the hardscape for us. But we have to, I do have 2 crews, that's all they do is concrete every day throughout all the county. Let's see, what else am I forgetting? We do snow removal. So
yes.
We avoid all hydrants on Mount Charleston.
And make sure we can get to the well sites up there. So we appreciate that.
We put all the snow around the hydrants to keep them insulated.
Right. Now I know why.
So we do snow removal on Mount Charleston. And of course up here we do Lovell, we do Columbia Pass, all the way up to Cold Creek. Areas that we may get snow down the low-lying areas. Let's see what else we got. We have video inspection crews that they do maintenance and they video inspect using robots going into our underground storm drain systems. And they check them for their integrity of the pipes and make sure that they're still in good condition. And also we do that in front of projects. So if we need to replace a pipe before we tear up the road, because I know everybody loves in here in the town. You see a nice new road and somebody comes in and cuts it because they got to fix something in the road. We try to do that as a preventative maintenance where we can tell you if the pipe needs replaced before we go in there and put a nice fresh coat of asphalt on the road. So we do have our road rating program that we have. It's been on board for 6 years now, where we go out and we have a truck. We have a pickup that's outfitted with a bunch of electronics, to put it the easiest way, and lasers and sensors that rates all the roads in Clark County that we maintain. It rates all the road. It takes out a lot of the human error from the years past of how they used to look at a road and tell you the condition of it and what needs to be done and what roads are worse. So we have a truck and we've removed that human error in there, and it's unbiased. The truck doesn't know you from Summerlin to East Las Vegas to Moapa. Mm-hmm. The roads are all rated the same. That's something that we use as part of our pavement rehabilitation program to see what roads are really showing the worst signs and that can use replacement early on. It also helps us project out as we're building this program. It helps us project out into, say, decades to come and learn the life of pavement and the degradation of after roads are put in. And we rate them even when they're brand new, and then we can track them over the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years, and we can see how they're lasting in this hot desert sun. It actually can come back to that. We also factor in there is the mix design of what type of asphalt was used in there. So years down the road, we can say that road did really good 30 years later and we haven't touched it. That mix design, and then this one fell apart.
So you have records on the mix that was used 30 years ago?
It might be on some paper somewhere. I don't have the lab. We do have a lab, but there's probably records out there. I don't know if it would date back that far. But
something that was done today will in 30 years have those records?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Because we love the cloud. Everything's on the cloud, right?
Well, speaking of that, is all of this road condition analysis stuff available on the county website or anywhere?
No. It's always on a continual basis of being upgraded. They're rating every day. So it's a live system, and it's an internal process for our engineering
groups. Well, it's funny because computers are perfect for for recording that and then letting people see it, you know?
I think a part of that is, and I'm not doubting anybody's knowledge in here, is having the knowledge how to understand it and read it and know what we're looking at and looking at the numbers to know if you want to have a talk about the street in front of your residence or in front of your business. It's best if you have questions on the road, you can just contact us at the road shop. May I give you the phone number?
I think someone told us about this whole computerized, the vehicles that do this before in one of these meetings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounded really interesting.
It is, and it's like I said before, it is, she knows all. She knows.
She does. She just laid it down for us.
I don't know why she had me on here.
I don't either.
So that you guys know I'm not making this stuff up. I know what I'm talking about.
So I have specific questions for the community. One is, and I don't want to like go off on a tangent, but so when you're rating it a road, is aesthetics calculated in there at all? Or is it just...
The only thing aesthetically that the machine's going to see is the cracking and maybe the graveling of the surface of the pavement.
Okay.
So again, in your eye of aesthetics and the computer's eye, it's going to detect a pothole. It's going to detect the cracks in the road.
Right.
It will detect those, and it can detect, you know, if it sees an alligator, that is a terminology. If it sees an alligator, it's going to notate that alligator. So that alligator is going to be notated, so we can come out if we were to come do a road that had a bunch of alligators in it. It will notate that, and we can do digouts in there. Where we have a smaller crew is another crew that we have that does digouts instead of our big construction crew. They'll come in and they'll do a 10x10, 10 foot by 10 foot area that has sunken or that pavement's cracking.
So for, I guess for the layman, I love our roads here because they're rural. They're basically bridle paths or they're I don't know what you would call the transition to gravel, but they're not curb and gutter.
Yeah.
Right.
Unimproved shoulders.
So, but as somebody that's just looking at it aesthetically, it's certainly passable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a scooter with wheels this big, so I almost got dumped actually a couple hours ago.
Yeah.
Just because for a car, a crack in the road that wide is not an issue.
Understood.
But it is for recreation, right?
Yeah.
Kids on skateboards, something like that. Plus, it looks like, doesn't look great.
Yeah.
When we had two major projects in town, the water district's contractor and the gas company's contractor, so the water company came through and then they did kind of a temporary patch, and then because they knew the gas company's contractor was going to come through, and then they patched. And I guess I was under the impression that it was going to be finished and then slurried. And then you wouldn't be able to see all of these cut-ins everywhere,
patches, yeah.
Right? And the thing, and I get the patches and everything, but it just kind of looks like crap compared to what it did before, because we did have I didn't know it was 2011, but it held up pretty well, the slurry did. So I know that the contractors have to have a bond before they cut into roads, right? And then the county, I guess, would come out and say, okay, you guys did a good job. Here we're releasing your bond.
Mm-hmm.
Were those bonds released on both contractors? And
I don't know.
So did we do a final, like, okay, the roads are cool, let's then move on. If not, I would love to be able to, for the community, give input on what we believe is finished before we release those contractors, because I think there's some roads, not my road's okay, but there's a couple roads that it's pretty, I mean, doesn't look good.
Sometimes, yes, I'm not going to speak on
that. Well, there's certainly roads in my area like that. You end up with a rut that never gets fixed.
No.
The developers just do a haphazard job, go away, and we had nicely paved roads, and now we have ruts and bumps.
Yeah. So those patches will, I mean, they're obviously going to wear differently, right, than
they
the other
should.
Road surface. They shouldn't. Okay.
What I was trying to get to is on another department within Public Works is the construction management and the compliance. A lot of times they put in a temporary patch, a temp patch when they do a water service, or they're hooking up a new gas service to a house, or whatever they're cutting into the street for. There is to be a permanent patch completed once the project is done. I can't speak for that. I know that the water district, and I'm not going to bash my counterpart, water district has a lot of water lines out there, and they're always fixing stuff, and they do a lot of blanket repairs. When they come into an area, correct me if I'm wrong or speak on, well, they'll come into an area and they've done a bunch of repairs or service replacements, and then they'll have their contractor come in and do the permanent patch. Sometimes those temporary patches do get left behind. We get calls on them as well. You can always relay that information to us. We can take a look at it. We can see where it's at. We'll work with the construction management group to see if that is closed out. And if the contractor's gone, they're released from their obligations or their bond, then we can look at and see if we need to come in and do a dig out. If it is a hazard, it's unsightly aesthetically, or if it's a hazard to the public, we can look at doing a permanent patch.
I would,
and then it shouldn't rut. It's the same asphalt that's out there.
Yeah.
Temporary patches of cold mix.
I'm not sure if ours
are
rutting.
Designed to be in there.
I don't think ours are rutting. And the difference between like Las Vegas Valley Water District, they went in and kind of did the whole half the offsite. You guys kind of did the whole offsite that you ripped up, where the gas company did like the required 10x10 patch or 20x20 patch. So what I think you're referring to is you see all those patches, which are predominantly on the other side of the road. So like
yeah.
a slurry seal would probably
they
clean up a lot of it too.
Never been a part of a program to come in and slurry seal and basically just cover all the
yeah.
patches. No. It's,
okay.
It's not at the
well,
spot.
I think
because there aren't any temporaries. They've all been done with
yeah,
the
I'm
permanent
not,
patches.
Yeah, I'm not really well, plus we don't really have a lot of traffic.
And that's where your slurry seal is held up. I'm sure your traffic count is a lot lower than
yeah.
any other comparable roads. I mean, slurry seals a lot of times in our high traffic areas will buy us 3 to 5 years to extend the life of a road
yeah.
to get the better use out of it and better bang for your buck. But your usage out here is a lot less. You're 25 mile an hour. It's slower. You have less wear and tear out here. You don't have heavy truck traffic. So,
but those two projects were big. I mean, like big.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was shocked at the scope of them, and I'm very thankful that they happened, because obviously the water lines were in terrible shape,
yeah,
and then
so
the gas lines as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was like very disruptive to the community, and the amount, and since they're not laying, I don't think they're laying water lines at the same place they're laying gas lines. So they were different cuts. I mean, everything. So it's like we finished with a water district, and it was just like, oh my God, here we go again.
Yeah.
And it was like a different side of the road and different areas. So it really did just completely kind of ruin the aesthetics of all of our roads. And I'm just hoping that there's something that we could do structural, if there's any structural, to do, and then something for the aesthetics. I mean, it's just,
yes.
I know that it's
unfortunately,
a low priority.
Aesthetics is not something that we're out there to, I'm sorry, to repair for aesthetically pleasing roads. Whether, the color of them, or if you have the cracks, or some people don't like it when we come in, we crack seal a road, and they don't understand that the slurry seal is coming behind it, because slurry seal can only be done in the summer. It's temperature sensitive. So we crack seal all winter long.
Yeah.
And they don't like the aesthetics of seeing this spider web of crack seal
black.
All over the streets.
Yeah.
It just looks like kids got a hold of a crayon out there and went crazy with it. It'll get covered. Those are the only ones that get slurry sealed.
Okay, so I guess I just needed...
Yeah.
I just wanted to know where we were sitting on that.
Right, and I'll find out on the bonds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with this idea that you guys don't concern yourself with aesthetics, is that going to be true if you're maintaining the bike path too?
I think there's different standards.
Interesting.
The standards there on that is aesthetics is one thing.
Yeah.
When I say there's a different standards, what I'm looking at is the maintenance and the cleanliness of that trail. We have bike trails. We have a bike trail system that we maintain in town. We have contractors that the level of service that's going to be on there is because we don't want the sand. We don't want the rocks in there, right?
Sure.
I'm not a bike rider. You can see I'm not out there riding a bike. So, but we know they got their little tiny tires. They don't like rocks. I know NDOT, they have to sweep their shoulders out here. They don't have rocks. So I think on that level of it.
Right,
so,
and I think especially on curves, by the way, it
yeah,
becomes
so,
a big issue for bicycles.
Yeah, and there's a lot of concerns with the trail and natural washes may interact with the trail and what kind of deposits of sand or rock, anything like that that could come onto the trail.
So with this aesthetic thing in mind, where of course it's so highly interpretive among other things, with the devices that do the recording of the quality of the pavement, do they also take geotagged pictures or video while they're doing it as well?
They do take intermittent photos.
Intermittent
photos. Yes, it's taken every so many seconds or whatever. It's, we don't have a...
So you wouldn't have a continual...
We can't have a continual feed. We'd have to own half a switch building on 215 in Rainbow.
I see. Would the photos, so you take photos, not video?
No, just photos. It takes snapshots every so often.
So is the so often such that the distance of this photo will be equivalent to the nearness of the next photo, so that it is actually continuous imaging? Is that, did I say in a way that's understandable?
Well, you bet the camera's at the same level all the time.
Yeah.
Well, right, but there'll be like a foreground and a horizon, let's say. So is the horizon of photo A
is the front
contiguous with
the front? No, I can't say that. I can't answer that. Honestly, if the forefront of this photo will be the rear of that photo, and then you could stitch them together, no, I can't say that.
Right, or even just look whether you could stitch them together. That would be, I think, a weird one to interpret. But I just think the ability that hey, you can see every foot of the road ultimately.
And ideally, that's not our idea, is to take photos of every foot of it. It's just a snapshot in time of an overall, of the average of the world.
Because it's not based on photos.
No.
I've had that
division when it was birthed in 6 years ago, and I know one time I've asked for a photo.
Interesting.
Google Earth has
more photos
than ours.
I keep a lot of records at my business that I, look at, go, I've been keeping that log for 20 years, and I never needed it.
I asked for a photo, and I was better off Google driving it and changing the timelines at the bottom, asking for more images.
Fair enough.
There's your stream, and it was.
And by the way, I'm not being critical.
No, it isn't.
I'm just, in fact, I'm generally quite happy with you guys. And there was one particular event where I was amazed, and I was very disappointed I didn't get the person's name that I talked to, because she did such a great job. And I called up because I live in Calico Basin, and I was heading out that way, coming up Sahara to Desert Foothills, and I'm making a left on Charleston, right? Mm-hmm. And some construction vehicle, a cement mixer, had left a long trail of concrete in that left turn lane, and it was like, how it is with concrete. If you pick it up right now, it's great. If you wait till tomorrow, it's a project. And I called somebody, and she's like, oh, okay, well, I'll put it on the list. I go, no, don't put it on the list. Send two guys with a pickup truck out there, and they'll finish it in 10 minutes. And she did it, and it was awesome.
It is great. That's our objective, to please the public. We're public servants out there. It's not going to be a pickup and shovel, and it looks great, and it makes you happy. Horrible on my equipment, because that concrete went in there wet, and now I have all this dry concrete in my rooms, and it's all in my equipment.
There's always consequences.
It does. My equipment doesn't need to be right aligned with 5,000 PSI concrete.
Right.
But it's part of our job, and we got to hustle butt back to the shop, and we've got to run it through water to get that
concrete. Right. I see that. But whatever you guys did, though, you did a great job with it, and now we don't have to deal with 20 years of that stripe of concrete.
Right, it'll wear down eventually.
I was giving it a 20.
Protects the road.
Yeah.
Because I can name a few places that I've seen where it did it and it dried on. It's never done.
And we do get those. We get complaints for those, and then we do send out one of our teams. We'll go out there, and we have that usually depending on the road that it is, if it's an arterial collector. But we have gone out there with our grinders, our milling machines. We have small ones that fit on our skid loader, and we'll grind those off. Especially when they get close to an intersection, you have bikes crossing, if it goes across crosswalks. We've gone out, we'll grind those off.
Okay, if I note any that have been around for a while, maybe I'll give you guys a call.
I'll give you the phone number. We're actually, I'm proud of, say, one of our divisions, one of the, still has human beings at the other end of the phone, but not an answering service. And, of course, we do have our digital ways to get a hold of us through email in the works, and Fix It Clark County. So,
is this Fix It Clark County the way to go to get it?
That's the, how do you want to say it? It's an app.
Yeah, I know what it is. I'm saying, is that the way to get hold of you guys?
So Fixit Clark County goes into, it goes into basically a bank, and then it's sorted out, and it also by the user of what you select in that form. If you say it's a pothole and you click on streetlight, there's going to be some sorting that needs to be done. Users sometimes click the wrong thing. But if you, in the drop downs, if you select the right one, but it also goes in the bank, and I have two staff that are on all the time, and as well as the other divisions that are within our department. Public Works is a department, and we have several divisions within, and everybody sorts it out. All the admin staff is always sorting it and say, hey, this one come over, it was tagged wrong. They'll kick it to us. It's homeless, it's potholes, it's sweeping, it's snow, it's flooding. You name it, whatever it is. So,
Fix It, you can send photos, you can give GPS coordinates to where the thing is.
Photos are great. And but if you do need to call and talk to us, we do have a phone number you can call.
And what's the phone number?
455-7540. That's the road maintenance show. And don't go knocking at the Jones Building door. That's not a public building. So I told you where it's at. You know where it's at. But don't go knocking on that door because nobody's going to be there. All the guys are in the back in the offices. So they better not be most of the day because they should be in the field doing work. So
can we borrow tools?
We're always hiring. You can use them all day long at work.
Okay, I got you.
You borrow all day long for 10 hours a day. We are always hiring. So if you know people looking for a good job,
yeah,
Clint, I went back and I also looked at the past meeting minutes of what you said in August when they sealed the streets here, and I know there were complaints there for like 6 months. People were complaining about the cracks and stuff like that. So in February, so 6 months later, it said that most of the cracks were considered reflective cracks, okay? And then from below the seal, and then it says some of the cracks were considered too deep and wide, and they will send someone out. So I didn't look past that date, so I'm assuming that, because everybody's saying now that the roads were, you know, good at that point.
You're talking about the reflecting cracks back when it was...
Back in 2011. In 2011, back then.
And that can happen when we go in and we crack seal it. Basically, if everybody knows what crack seal is, it's a rubberized emulsion that is heated up to 400 degrees, just like a hot glue gun. You take the hot glue gun, you heat it up, it becomes liquid, it cools off, it hardens. What it does is it seals, it keeps the water out from getting into the subgrade of the road. Once the water gets to the subgrade, it starts to deteriorate the subgrade. Now you're going to start getting cracks, you're going to get potholes, you're going to get alligators, and then we come over. If the crack is large it still doesn't prevent the pavement from expanding and contracting, and when it does that, that reflective crack breaks apart, and that real thin layer of slurry seals, you know, 1/4 inch thick, it's going to crack that again. So it doesn't always happen. The majority of the time you'll see that is when it's not crack sealed. If the guys missed a crack, the blend design that we have for our crack seal here in Southern Nevada is the same as what the Blazes of Phoenix uses and everything else. It's actually different than what you would see used, let's say, in Cedar City and going up to Salt Lake or in colder climates.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is specifically designed with the elasticity to hold in the hot environment down here and actually move more and stay a little more pliable, but not enough to pick up on your tires.
So, do you guys make it yourself, or you buy it from some company?
No, we buy it, and it just comes in these about 7-pound blocks, and we drop it in the machine, and it heats it up and liquefies it. The guys pour it on the road with their wand, and then we've got guys running around with squeegees, and they're chasing every crack on the road.
Cool. So 400 degrees is the melting point of that stuff?
That's the best usable temperature.
That's the usable temperature.
Yeah, it starts to melt and lower. Make it easier on my guys. I've cracked seal before. You don't want to push a cold puddle at crack seal because what you're going to do is you're going to go right over the squeegee and fall on your face. Because you're literally gluing your squeegee to the ground.
So in any case, though, it's not affected by, let's say, the sun shining on a hot road.
No. And once we go through and crack seal, we have guys that follow back through there, and they have a release agent that they put on it. It doesn't affect the integrity of the material. So if we crack seal in front of your driveway and they're like, hey, Johnny, county worker, I need to go to the doctor's office. I got to go work. I got to do whatever. I want to leave my house. They spray that release agent on there that you can drive over and it won't stick to it, even though it's trying to cool off.
Wow.
So we try to think of everything. I didn't engineer it, but we try to think of everything, make sure we have all the tools to do the job right. So.
When you're doing good PR, for sure. You know, if you're making it all up, well, hey, that's pretty good.
I'm not making it up. Megan told me what to say. So.
No, I'm just teasing you.
Okay. I take that liaison class once a year. So.
Oh, my God. Whatever.
Quick question for you.
Yeah.
Does it matter the depth of the asphalt when the machine goes over, whether it's 2, 3, or 4 inches of asphalt?
What machine going over?
The machine that says that the road does not need repair. The machine.
It's not X-ray. It does not take the.
No, but I'm saying does when it goes over, does that matter? A 2 inch, a 3 inch, or a 4? It doesn't
it's a
matter.
Surface rating.
Okay.
Surface rating.
It's just a
surface rating. Yes. Mm-hmm. And our road rating truck, so you get an idea of when we rate a road and. You know, the almost 18,000 lane miles, whatever we have, this road rating truck has to drive every lane of every road. It doesn't drive every road, it drives every lane. So, 215, they had to do 6 and 8 trips because they rate every road at 12 to 14 foot wide. So, every lane is rated. So, we can have one lane one rated and not doing well, but lane 2 and lane 3 are holding up. We can break it down into lanes. So every lane is driven. So roads like this that are 24, 32 foot wide out here in these rural areas, you're only getting one lane each direction.
And so how many miles of road are you covering in Clark County?
I don't know. Development outruns my mind sometimes, my memory, but it's 17, upward 18,000 lane miles.
Lane miles. So the roads are.
We have curb miles. We have curb miles. We have lane miles, and we have median lane miles. It's all just.
And then just sort of road miles, which would be divided by.
Yeah.
Or
that would be more of an accurate, something easier, palatable to swallow would be a curb mile. Then it's just the road. Anything that has curb miles. So lane miles is going to double, triple, quadruple what you're thinking. So
that's funny. Okay, cool. I was actually having a conversation about this concept with somebody in California earlier today. So I'll bring back some of that to the conversation.
So cool. Like I said, we have a wide facet of things that we do, and I may have forgot something. Megan can tell me if I forgot something. She knows most of what we do too.
Wow.
Do you have any questions or comments?
Last thing, and it still does not register with me. So we had that conversation, but you know, when you see 20 to 30 years is the average lifespan of low traffic residential streets, asphalt resealing needs to be done every 3 to 5 years, resurfacing every 15, 20 years. Seal coating extends the life of asphalt, and the sun's UV rays contribute to the oxidation of asphalt, which causes the surface to become brittle and lose flexibility. So it seems to go against what the machine does. And you're the expert, I'm the novice at this. So the two just don't seem to make sense to me. But I understand that whatever the machine says, that's what the result is going to be. But
yeah.
it's still I still don't comprehend it.
I don't know what
more
I can give you. With our road rating truck, and like I said, we've road rated in years past, and we've removed the human error from that. When I say that, that was a person out there driving the road, and if he had a bad night before, or he was in a bad mood from a relationship he's in, and the next day he's got a new girlfriend, so he's happy, drives the same road, there's going to be two different ratings. And the computer does all the rating for us. Every road is different. Like I said, there's traffic studies and how, you know, the traffic count that's on there, the mix design that they used, how thick the road was, and whether it was put in correctly 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago. There could be subgrade issues. There's geotechnical issues in there. Whether there's, you know, Caliche's a great base to put asphalt on, but then you have sand, you have all, you know, they have the geotechnical surveys. And there's a lot of factors weigh into how long a road lasts. the type of traffic that you have, whether you have heavy trucks or you're just all residential cars. So,
It's all me. But thank you for being here. Yeah. Really appreciate it.
I have one more question. In Calico Basin, Calico Basin Road has the pavement edges are raggedy in a number of places. Does that end up causing the useful portion of the road to degrade when they're raggedy like that? Because people drive across.
Well, are you talking about the edge line breaking off?
Let's say yes.
I mean, if the edge line of the road is breaking off, a lot of times it's not going to affect the integrity of the road. All we're doing is we're losing usable lane width.
Uh-huh.
So we'll keep an eye on that. But also that can crumble off, and then it becomes a blunt edge. You have a 2-3-inch road, and it pops out. Now you've created a pothole on the edge, and you have your avid bike riders out here that may be riding an edge line when they're riding on the road. So we ask that if you turn in, we'll take a look at them.
So I could do that. Thank you for actually. So Elon drives my Tesla. I have full self-driving. And he hit that on the way in here. Pissed me off. Because it cost me $300 for that tire. And I didn't do it. Elon did. And he
was
hit
it on this road or the highway?
This coming in. What's the road? What's the back
road?
Arroyo.
Arroyo.
Yeah, and it was, now it's a pothole. Now it's like this right on the edge. And that road is
narrow. They're going in or out of the community.
Going in on the right side.
But Arroyo's a tough one. Arroyo's a tough one because we don't own it. The county does not own Arroyo.
Is that a private drive?
It's like an RS-2477. I don't think it's an actual
RS-2477.
But it's like an RS-2477.
If it was more of a resident 50 years ago, probably had a blade and knew somebody with the asphalt company.
Yep.
So there's
it's technically not a county maintained road.
Correct.
Oh wow!
Even though they maintain
so does
it
the
for
Tesla
us.
Photograph the pothole and then
it
geotag it and send it to?
It contacted the shop and then they had to give me a quote before I pulled in.
There to do your coming, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome, man! Life
fancy.
Is, and stocked your refrigerator too.
No.
Well, anything else for me? I'll stop taking
Thanks,
Clint.
Thank
you so
much. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. I think all we have left is comments by the general public, if anybody has anything else.
I got a comment.
Okay.
In looking through those meeting minutes from 2004 to 2012, I happen to notice that, Ms. Megan, you have an anniversary coming up soon.
July 9th.
July 9th.
It'll be 13 years.
And the first meeting was July 29th. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
And I just passed 25 years for the county. So.
Congratulations.
Wow. Wow.
Hers is you.
I started when I was 12. So.
That's great. All right. Well, then our next meeting date is May 28th, 2025. And we will adjourn the meeting.
All right.
All right.
Jeez, Bob, we went back.